Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettea along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, the legend himself, Coach Pete Jenkins. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Coach, you're one of the few guys that, man, you can talk about it. You've been knowing Andy Reid a long time, got to coach for him and with him, and you and I talked about this before, but I'll let you tell our listening audience, what makes Andy Reid so special as a coach?
Golly, Mike, I got it.
No, I only got a few minutes.
How long is the show? let me start with this, Mike. He has a sense of fairness, that, you know, I think it sets him apart from a lot of guys that I've worked for and been around and coached with. You know, he's truly fair to everybody. He's demanding now. He's demanding, and he holds you accountable, those things. But he is so fair to everybody, and that's players, coaches, managers. It doesn't matter. I think that's one of his real attributes. The other thing is he has a very even-keel personality. You know, actually, I worked for him during some hard times that he went through in his personal life. But you know, Mike, you never knew it. I mean, he didn't talk about it. He didn't bring it up. He was always so even-keeled. And you never see him get too high, and you never see him get too low. I think his fairness to everyone and that even keel of his personality are two of his greatest attributes.
Coach, I know you close to Steve Spagnuolo, and Bob and I have talked about this. Sometimes I brought this up to Bobby that, you know, sometimes players aren't the right fit when they get picked somewhere and they go on somewhere else, and it all connects. Like we saw Zach Bond do this year. With the Eagles, it was the right fit with Vic Fangio and Woody Rand defensively. Yeah. It might not have worked somewhere else. It didn't work here in New Orleans at all. You know, he was a special teams guy. And you've been around players the exact same way. When Spags coached this team as a defensive coordinator, it was one of the worst teams in the history of the NFL, statistically, the way their defense was. Now he's going on with a shot to be part of a team that could be a three-peat champion in the Super Bowl, which has never been done before. Knowing Spags kind of tells us a little bit about his personality and how he's grown throughout the years.
Well, you know, Mike, everything you said was true. It just wasn't the full story. You know, I worked that summer in training camp that he was at the Saints. And it was the year, you know, what do they call it, Bounty Gate?
Yes.
Yeah, it was the Bounty Gate year. And when I came to work for training camp, Sean was already in exile. So, you know, it was really hard. It wasn't just hard on Steve. Actually, Mike, it was hard on everybody in the organization because, you know, Joe Vitt at that time was the head coach, and he served about a week or so, and they made somebody else the head coach. You never knew. It was really hard. You never knew who was going to be at practice and who wasn't because they were conducting the investigation into the Bounty Gate. So I would tell you this, and I don't mean to make excuses for Steve, but he or nobody else on that staff really had a chance. I mean, it was a difficult, difficult year that the players and the coaches went through there during that investigation. And he told me, you know, he saw Sean. Sean hired him. They were friends. They knew one another very well through pro football. And then the next time he saw Sean, Sean was firing him. So he did. And if you look back, I believe I'm right on this. the offense struggled that year too. They didn't have, even Drew didn't have his normal year. It was just a difficult year. It should be torn off the calendar and thrown away. But I think that had an effect on Steve and his coaching year at the Saints. The thing that's impressive too with Steve, he's the only coordinator in the history of the National Football League who has won a Super Bowl coordinating two different defenses. He won a Super Bowl at the Giants, and then he's won the Super Bowls with the with the Chiefs. So he's very, very intelligent. He's a smart guy. He is really funny because I used to go in his office, Mike, and he was so dadgum neat. Everything was, and I would tell him, I'd say, Steve, my office was next door. I'd say, Steve, come over here in my office and let's finish this conversation, okay? I don't feel good about being in here.
You might be dirty in the place.
Yeah, I said, I feel like when I was a little boy, my mama would bring us places, and before we go in, she'd look around and she'd say, Pete, don't touch anything. Yes, ma'am. I felt that way about Spags. But I love the guy. He's a very, very spiritual guy. And really, he and his wife do so much for the communities that they live in and things like that. But Mike, he's a really good defensive football coach.
Coach, we've talked about Jalen Carter, so I'll ask you about Jordan Davis because he does a lot of the dirty work. You got to work with him at Georgia, and you've worked with him away from it. Now, Jordan's a big man. I mean, and I'm talking about a really big man. Because we've seen Jalen, and you made the comment to me before, you think Jalen Carter's the best defensive tackle in pro football because he plays the run better than Chris Jones. And a lot of times we see the Chiefs will pull Chris Jones from the lineup on obvious running plays. So give us your rundown, having dealt with Jordan Davis, and you can't miss him, number 90. I mean, he is a massive guy, but for a big man, how well he moves.
He moves extremely well, as you said, Mike. So when he was a freshman, at Georgia. I was working there in spring ball, and we were in a staff meet one day. And Kirby said, he's a freshman, he's a true freshman. And he was actually overweight. He was bigger then than he is now. He was really overweight. And Kirby said in the meeting, he said, we ought to think about moving Jordan Davis to offense. Okay. And my hand went straight up in the air. And he said, what is it? And I said, please, Coach, don't move Jordan Davis to offense. Please don't. I said, you will regret that because that guy's got the quickness and speed to really, really help you on defense. And Kirby, the next year, Kirby was joking with me in that next spring about me anointing Jordan Davis. Who are you going to anoint this year, Pete? That's what he would ask me. But I could see he had that burst, Mike. He had that first step of quickness, a change of direction that you just, it's you can't find enough people who are that big and have that kind of agility and quickness. He's a special player. And I tell you what I think, too, just watching him, the little I've been able to see him this fall on TV, I think he's getting better and better. He was young when he came to Georgia. He was young for a senior in high school. And he stayed there 3 years. So I think I think pro ball is really slowing down for him. And I really think he's growing as I watch him now. I think he's getting to be a lot better player, from week to week.
Jalen Carter, I'll give you a couple of seconds on Jalen because I know you talked to me about Carter when you had him in Georgia, right. And it was right. Like, I haven't heard you talk too many times about a guy like that in the college ranks, but he really has, Pete, developed into the best defensive tackle in pro football today.
I tell you, he is lightning in a bottle. And I mean, the guy's got quickness and speed and change of direction. And on top of that, you remember, who was it he picked up that day? He did it again last Sunday. I saw him.
He first picked up Jaden Daniels, because there were people on Georgia was like, don't throw him down, because he picked him off his feet. And he did the exact same thing to Jaden again in the playoff game.
He is a blessed athlete. I'm telling you, he's got power and quickness. And I mean, you just don't run across many like him. And I wanted to mention this guy to you too, Mike, for you people that the audience. There's a boy 93 that plays on that defensive line, number 93.
Milton Williams.
His name is Milton Williams, yeah. And he is a Louisiana Tech boy.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
And he was a disappointment early, Pete. He was a major disappointment early in his career. And then all of a sudden, it has hit with Milton Williams as a football player. And I'm glad you brought it up, because it was a guy that, man, early on, a lot of people thought, this might not work.
Yeah.
And he now has become...
He's doing a good job.
A really good job.
And I'm not trying to connect these two, okay? But I've had a chance to work with him for the last couple of summers. And, boy, I love the kid. And look, it's hard to give him enough work. I mean, he's so hungry to do good. And, I mean, the guy is there early. The guy leaves late. I've been real impressed with him, and watching him play this year, he looks like he's coming into his own. He's had some really good pressure on the quarterback, and I think he compliments Carter having him in there, you know. So I just wanted to mention him being a Louisiana Tech guy. I think he's becoming a real contributor for him.
Coach, before we let you run, I want to get your thoughts on Jalen Hurts making his second Super Bowl appearance. And, you know, Mike and I have talked about Jalen in the past and how much of a hardworking kid he is. His work ethic is fantastic. You know, this being his second Super Bowl appearance, and Bobby had been saying earlier in the week that the first time around, and I agree with him, he outplayed Pat Mahomes. He didn't get the win, but he played just as good, if not better, than Patrick Mahomes. And so this is his next chance to get that Super Bowl ring. Just want to get your thoughts on Jalen Hurts and your time with him.
Well, you know, of course, I didn't work with him anything, but I was working at Alabama, you know, when he was there. Bo Davis, our D-line coach here at LSU, recruited him. He was a guy that was in Bo's area. And his dad was a high school coach. And Bo would tell me about this guy. You know, he'd tell me, he'd say, Coach, this guy's work ethic is off the charts. And I, you know, while he was there, I thought he did a great job at Alabama. I really did. And you know, even when Tua started playing more, you know, Jalen was always ready to answer the bell. You know, he comes into the national championship game. I don't know where you remember it, but he ran a quarterback draw that really, you know, helped win the football game and everything. But, you know, I have a lot of respect for him. And the guy's tough as an old boot. And his daddy, Bo, used to tell me that, you know, a lot of the guys that were his age were out having fun, doing this, doing that. This guy was lifting weights, because his daddy was a hard-nosed guy, or he is a hard-nosed guy. So I'm a big fan of his. I'm like you. I think the guy plays – he plays a game, and, you know, he's come a long way as a passer since Alabama. I thought he was more of a thrower at Alabama, but the guy does a good job of throwing the football, and I'm a big fan of his. I think he'll be a real thorn in the side of the Chiefs Sunday week.
Pete, we'll get you back. And I told Charlie I'd have you tell him this story, but we kind of short on the time, about when you guys came here to play the Saints and Andy Reid and Mike Sirio set him up food-wise. But that's a long story.
Oh, boy.
And he thought a muffalata was a big sandwich.
Big sandwich. Yeah, he said, well, that big old sandwich was good.
And he ate it all in one shot. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Go ahead, Coach.
He's got an appetite, Coach Reed does. And you know, he's so funny about it. You know, he really is. He eats a salad and at midnight eat 13 Hershey bars and I get to me. But he is such a, you know, and I think the advertisements that he's doing on TV now, you know, I think it's a little lot of people real know he's got a great sense of humor. And he's the king of the one-liners. I mean, the guy can hit you with a one-liner and drop you to your knees. He's really, but I purely love the guy. And I don't know if there's a better person walking the face of the earth, to tell you the truth. So, but anyways, we'll get into the food next time, okay?
Oh, we will do it. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Always love to have you on. And I told Charlie that story already about he thought that gumbo was a soup. But I'll let you tell the whole story later on. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Coach Pete Jenkins, man, got some great stories. Over 50 years coaching.
A muffalata is just a sandwich.
And he told me the story. He said, man, Mike Cirio sends him this huge muffalata. And he's like, man, Coach, man, that big sandwich was good. He ate the whole thing in one sitting. So Andy got a bit of an appetite with him.